so they had to be in several parts. So as they were printed, the temples would receive a shipment of books, third canto, part one, third canto, part two, third canto, part three. So we'd hand somebody third canto, part four, and they'd look, third canto, part four. What happened to the earlier cantos and the earlier parts? You know what you would say? Our spiritual master told us that when you lick on an ice cream, you can lick from any side and it's always sweet. And that's all he would say. Just go on like they didn't even ask the question. So, for those of you that don't know anything about Nectar Devotion or Text 2 or Part 1, any side you lick on an ice cream, it's very nice, it's very sweet. But I'll give you a little background. Because there are some persons here that are not familiar with this subject. Krishna, in his original form, the original form means in Goloka Vrindavan, according to Srimad Bhagavatam, there's spiritual planets in the spiritual sky, the Vaikuntha region, far, far beyond this material sky and the material universe, beyond the coverings of the universe, there's a big, vast spiritual sky. And in that spiritual sky, there are spiritual planets, Vaikuntha planets, presided by forms of Lord Narayana. And amongst those unlimited spiritual planets, there's a planet, according to Srimad Bhagavatam, known as Krishna Loka. And in that Krishna Loka planet, Swayam Bhagavan Krishna, he resides. And along with him are all of his associates, of course headed by his internal potency, Radharani. But Nanda and Jasoda, they're in the spiritual world, in Krishna Loka. And Sudama and Sridama and Subal, all the cowherd boys, and the gopas and the gopis, and Govardhan Hill, and everything is there. The peacocks, the cows, Surabhi cows. All of these things are described in Sri Brahma Samhita. They're also identified in so many of the Puranas and in Srimad Bhagavatam, thoroughly described. So, as Krishna says, yada yadahi dharmasya glani. When there's discrepancy in religion, dharmasya glani, he descends, surajamyaham. He descends himself. And he does this yuge yuge, from age to age. And in the Srimad Bhagavatam, there's a description of a summary of the avatars, the forms of the Lord as they descend from the spiritual world to this region, earthly region, to correct discrepancies in Dharma. And according to Srimad Bhagavatam, amongst all of those different avatars, one holds the position of avatari, meaning the source of all of them. They appear, each of the avatars appear as forms of Vishnu, or they appear through as avatars of Vishnu, commonly indicated avatars of Shiradakshai Vishnu, sometimes indicated as Garbhadakshai Vishnu, but avatars of Vishnu. But it's something like there's the door through which most of us entered. Maybe there's another door. Maybe there's a garage door or something. Most of us probably came through that door. So before we came through the door, we had some existence, and then we came through the door. And here comes Panchatattva through the door. Haribol. I was going to call you and find out what happened, but I thought, no, something. Anyway, thank you for coming.
Thank you for being here, Maharaj. I'm sure we all feel the same.
Don't hold your breath. I'm leaving tomorrow.
Oh, no, you're kidding.
Yeah, I've been here all week. Anyway, so, say as we existed before we came through the door, and now we're here, the personality of Godhead, those forms of the Lord as they appear in this world, they have their existence in the Vaikuntha Loka. Are you with me? I'm making a point that Vishnu is the portal, the avenue through which, or the personality of Godhead through whom the avatars appear, but they have their existence before they appear here. That's why they're called avatars. They descend into this world from the spiritual world. So as they descend from the spiritual world into this world as avatars of Vishnu, amongst all of them, one is the source of all of them. One is the avatari of all the avatars. According to Srimad Bhagavatam, that's Swayam Bhagavan Krishna, the same Krishna that lives or eternally resides in Goloka. And he appears once in every day of Brahma. And the day of Brahma is really long. The day of Brahma is 1,000 of the cycle of four yugas. And each cycle of four yugas is 4,320,000 times 1,000. So once in every day of Brahma, Krishna, Swayam Bhagavan Krishna appears. And just after the departure of Lord Krishna in Dwarpa Yuga, once in the day of Brahma, Krishna appears in another form, in a form to teach how to develop love for him in his original abode of Krishna Loka. Once in the day of Brahma. And that form of the Lord, Krishna himself, is Lord Chaitanya. And Lord Chaitanya came to teach, as I just said, how to develop Braja Prema, love for Krishna in the mood of the residents of Vrindavan. But he didn't write those teachings. He taught those teachings and told those who he taught to write those teachings. And foremost of all of them is Rupa Goswami. And this book that we're discussing is one of those books of Rupa Goswami. So the picture is, he's up there. And as committed as Srila Prabhupada was to translating Srimad Bhagavatam, all 12 cantos, which is, it's a lifetime's work. I mean, if somebody was a scholar and tried to translate something for the your audience is the world, so you have to be it's a Herculean task. But he took time out from the translations of Srimad Bhagavatam to translate some writings of Rupa Goswami, because the writings of Rupa Goswami are so important in understanding devotional service, which is the message of Srimad Bhagavatam. To understand Krishna, it's through the medium of devotional service. So how to render devotional service in such a way that you can awaken your love for Krishna as the residents of Vrindavan have love for Krishna. That was the assignment, the job description of Rupa Goswami. And Lord Chaitanya empowered him to do it. He not only taught him, but he said, I give you the capacity to realize in full everything that I'm saying, and then to write it in such a manner that the world will be able to understand it. And it's my task to try to present some of those teachings of Rupa Goswami. Pray for me. one of the largest, most voluminous and comprehensive literature Prabhupada translated in the form of a summary study. He called it Nectar of Devotion, which is one of our essential literatures for us to understand, for devotees, followers of Lord Chaitanya, to understand. But another is very short. 11 verses. 11 verses. Piece of cake, right? 11 verses. But it's very condensed. So this is verse 3 of this Nectar of Instruction, this 11-verse book or presentation. And the first verse, this is just review for those of you that haven't been with us. It's new. But the first verse starts off, according to our acharyas, commenting on this. It's describing the intermediate stage of devotion at the upper end. So there's beginning, intermediate, advanced, like anything. Very common, kind of common sense. So those who are in the intermediate stage, there are certain injunctions for them to observe, like, here's one of them. Not only you worship God, because that's beginning stage, but along with worshiping God, you make friends with those who are, and establish loving relationship with those who are devotees of God. And then you, and there are different, you know, those more advanced devotees, those are peers, those are less advanced devotees, but make friendships, loving exchanges with those devotees. And then those that are innocent, extend the opportunity to connect with Krishna to those persons. We discussed some of that a little bit. And then the lower, the fourth is those that are hardcore atheists. Don't intimately associate with those people. That's enjoined for those in the Madhyama position. And then the first verse is describing the upper end of the Madhyama position. And that is, they have full control of the lower urges. Full. They've completely surpassed lower tendencies by spiritual strength. So now, that's the first. Then the second and the third are saying, there are six things that will destroy vinashati, vinash. They'll destroy bhakti, the tendency of loving service. And there are six things that will enhance prasiddhiti. They'll help enrich and strengthen and qualify one in devotional service. Could you girls move forward a little bit? Because everyone likes the doorway. And then right behind them, you can come forward a little bit. Thank you. And those of you in the doorway, get out of the doorway, because people need to come in and out. Thank you. Thank you very much. Okay. Don't sit right in the doorway, because people have to get in and out. You're okay. Your daughter's the one that's in the way. All right, fine. Okay. So, last time we discussed the beginning part of Nectar of Instruction Text 3, we discussed two things. That's as far as we got. If there are six things that enhance devotional service, it's a pretty good thing to know what is devotional service, so you can apply that which will enhance it. So what is devotional service? We discussed. And then we discussed enthusiasm. This first one, utsahan. How to apply enthusiasm to devotional service. And today, we're going to hopefully discuss nishchayad, or how to apply confidence, and dhairyat, patience. Utsaha nishchayad dhairyat, tat-tat karma pravartanat, following the activities that are regulations of devotional service, and sangatyagat, giving up the association of unwholesome people, satovrite, taking the association or following the footsteps of the sadhus, or those who are attached to sat, satovrite. Shadvir bhakti prasityati, these six help one advance and be successful in devotional service. So here's the translation. There are six principles favorable to the execution of pure devotional service. Utsahan, being enthusiastic. Nishchayad, endeavoring with confidence. Dhairyat, being patient. Four. Tat-tat karma pravartanat, acting according to the regular principles. Five. Sangatyagat, abandoning the association of non-devotees. And six. Sato vrite, following in the footsteps of previous acharyas, these six principles undoubtedly assure the complete success of pure devotional service. So we discussed these six have two divisions. Attitudes, enthusiasm, confidence, patience, those are attitudes, and then there's behaviors or actions. So we're discussing now the first part, the attitude part, or the consciousness that you carry into devotional service. Here's just some little quotes, just to review. Without enthusiasm, one cannot be successful even in worldly things. Certainly it's true in spiritual matters too. Enthusiasm means action. Some of you remember, so it's not just a feeling, I feel devotional. And sometimes I cry when I feel devotional. It's practical activity. Endeavor, executed with intelligence in Krishna consciousness, is called utsaha, or enthusiasm. And according to Rupa Goswami, we're directed to find the means by which everything can be utilized in the service of the Lord. Now this is the introduction to the next item, nishchayad, confidence. The successful execution of Krishna conscious activities requires both patience and confidence. So if you're going to, we heard in the earlier section, in order to sustain enthusiasm, you must have a spiritual conception of life. Otherwise, passion, which covers the spiritual conception of life, enthusiasm will be circumstantial and intermittent. Go, 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 oh. Go, 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 oh. Enthusiastic and then waning enthusiasm. So we're heading towards the spiritual platform or spiritual conception of life, where to continue it we need patience and confidence, and we're going to focus on the confidence part. Prabhupada in his purport gives the example of a newly married girl, and the example is very simple. The newly married girl may think, I want a child. Well, she has to be a little patient. In time that may come, but it's not like, you know, married one day and child the next day. It doesn't happen like that. One has to be a little patient. In devotional service, surrender means that one has to become confident. Nice, isn't it? This is the concluding instruction of Krishna in Bhagavad Gita. Our scholarly three girls over here. What's the final instruction that Krishna gives in Bhagavad Gita? Thank you very much. And do you know the meaning?
He'll
protect you from?
He'll protect you from
Papa, sinful reactions.
Sinful reactions and to have no fear.
Okay. Ma suchaha, have no fear. So to accomplish this, the surrender, then one has to have confidence that Krishna is on the other side. And he's real. And you surrender to him, he'll do what he says he's going to do. I trust him. He says and he'll do what he says he's going to do. He has the capacity to do it. So to surrender, Prabhupada writes this, to have this, to fulfill this instruction of Krishna, there must be confidence in Krishna. So it's essential to progress in spiritual life, to surrender to Krishna, to have confidence in Krishna. The devotee thinks, Avasya Rakshibe Krishna. Krishna will surely protect me and give me help for the successful execution of devotional service. This is he's using as a definition of confidence. What does confidence mean? Krishna's there. He'll help me. He'll give me protection. Whatever it is that I require, he'll see that I have that. Krishna isn't going to leave me alone like a dependent child upon the mother. The mother isn't going to neglect their child. A loving mother isn't going to neglect their child, and Krishna isn't going to neglect us. And the confidence that that's true is what we're discussing. Until confidence is achieved, now I'm going to mention several sections here. There are quotes from Bhaktivinoda Thakur. BVT means Bhaktivinoda Thakur. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur is an acharya in our line. He's the father of Srila Prabhupada's spiritual master, Bhaktisiddhanta. His father was Bhaktivinoda Thakur. And he lived in the late 1800s, the early 1900s. So, over a century ago. He wrote in several languages. He was born in Bengal, so he wrote in Bengali, but he wrote in Sanskrit and English and other languages. So this is his commentary on this section of Nectar of Instruction. Confidence must be achieved, and if it's not achieved, then there's hesitation or doubt. And Krishna speaks about, basically he's restating what Krishna says in this verse of Bhagavad Gita, chapter 4. Ignorant and faithless persons who doubt the revealed scriptures do not attain God consciousness, they fall down. For the doubting soul, there is happiness neither in this world nor the next. Na sukham samshayatmanaha. Samshaya means doubt. For one who's doubting, that is, they're lacking confidence. For one who's doubting, there's neither happiness in this or the next life. So, confidence is essential, is what we're hearing. And so if there's doubt, how do you address doubt? What's not recommended is blind following. Just close your eyes and jump. That's not recommended. Blind rejection, that's also not recommended. Both are condemned. So what's the alternative to being in this condition of I'm not sure, but I'd like to be sure? So one can have a false sense of confidence. That's not recommended. I didn't make these cartoons, by the way. This is somebody else's handiwork. It's just a little bump in the road. That's the United States. I guess that's the presidential limousine or something. Or a lady says, I'm not at all threatened by your point of view because you're wrong. So not this false confidence, or maybe the reverse of it. Encumbered by low self-esteem, Raymond takes a job as a speed bump. Maybe you get the idea. So it's not false this way or false that way. What's the alternative? Bhaktivinoda Thakur writes, one who has faith is certainly without doubts, because the word faith means firm conviction. He's paraphrasing Lord Chaitanya, who's explaining what faith is. It's conviction that by achieving one thing, all other desirable things are accomplished. And that one thing for a devotee is Krishna Bhakti. Somehow, let me attain Krishna Bhakti. As long as there are doubts, firm conviction cannot remain in the heart. Faithful living entities are always doubtless. Here's another quote by Bhaktivinoda Thakur. When doubts arise, one's devotional service becomes corrupted, desires are polluted, unwanted results are achieved, and thus everything is ruined. Therefore, those who have a desire for pure devotional service should perform devotional service with full confidence. Okay, that's, now we got the idea, we're supposed to get it. How do you get it? Once you get it, devotional service is so pure and perfect that once having begun, one is forcibly dragged to ultimate success. That's, again, Bhaktivinoda Thakur. So, get on the train, and the train moves. It'll take you to the destination. Devotional service is pure. You come in contact with that which is pure, and you'll become purified. Now, something that I learned very early as a devotee is if someone, because devotional service, I'll say it slowly, because devotional service is purifying, if one maintains attachment to some impurity, as the impurity gets removed, one will get removed if you remain attached to some impurity, because devotional service is pure. I watched it happen. Somebody, when I joined a temple, the first temple I took part in, it was the Boston Temple, and there was this one devotee who I thought, he's up there. His sadhana, his devotional practices are impeccable. He knows the scripture very well. He's always very well composed. He knows how to do everything very expertly. And then 2 weeks later he was gone. And then I realized two things. Devotional service is purifying, and if you remain attached to some impurity, devotional service will take the impurity away in you too. And I also realized that I don't have the capacity to understand who's advanced. So I better not try to figure that one out until I get a little more experienced here. But because it's pure. That's exactly the statement. Devotional service is so pure and perfect that once having begun, it forcibly dragged into ultimate success. Those persons who want the greatest benefit in the form of achieving devotion to Krishna should ask all these questions. These questions refers to, I cut out a number of slides. It refers to Bhaktivinoda Thakur presenting Lord Chaitanya's teachings. And that's a whole class into, that's like, it's called Dasa Mula Tattva, 10 Essential Teachings. I taught a course in Vrindavan for 1 month on the 10 essential teachings of Lord Chaitanya as given by Bhaktivinoda Thakur. So that's what these questions are. I just saved you 1 month's worth of detail. One should be inquisitive. So this is how you remove doubts. Ask questions. Things that I'm not sure about this or that. Don't be shy. Don't be embarrassed. Present the questions. Arjun does it. It's not wrong. It's not a sign of a weakness or something like that. It's a sign of progression. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur is advocating, as Arjuna did, any of us should also ask all kinds of questions to the spiritual master. By hearing the proper answers to these questions from the mouth of one's guru, all doubts will be cleared. And firm faith will awaken. Do not give up deliberation. And a statement by Krishnadas Kaviraj and Chaitanya Charitamrita says the same thing even stronger. A sincere student should not neglect the discussion of such conclusions, considering them controversial. For such discussions strengthen the mind. Thus one's mind becomes attached to Krishna. So this process of inquisitiveness and presenting inquiries or doubts before a qualified person, as Arjuna did before Krishna, that's how we can get to the full confidence or asamshaya, freedom from doubt, so that we can progress and be attached to Krishna. Engagement in the devotional service of the Lord is the life and soul of the living entity. Oh, I want to show this one too at the top. Someone may wonder, well, maybe bhakti sounds really good, but maybe I need something else. It's like, you know, a little called hedging. I don't want to put everything in one place. I want to some over here and some over there. I learned this from a devotee that went to Brown University to study economics. He switched to law because one of the things he had to learn was hedging. And he just like didn't like that. You can't dump everything here, because if there's a problem over here, then you lose everything. So you do a big portfolio of different stuff. He's a devotee. Just like everything goes to Krishna, that's all. So maybe I need something other than bhakti. So this is a response. This is a doubt. Some persons may have. Engagement in devotional service of the Lord is the life and soul of living entity. It is the desired goal and the supreme perfection of human life. One has to become confident about this. And one also has to be confident that all activities other than devotional service, such as mental speculation, fruitive work, or mystic endeavor, will not yield any enduring benefit. In bright letters, complete confidence in the path of devotional service will enable one to attain his desired goal. But attempting to follow other paths will only succeed in making one restless. So, going back to the very beginning of how Prabhupada presented these six, he said, let's understand what devotional service is, to which you are to apply these six things for success in spiritual progress in knowing Krishna. And this is one, to be confident. So this is detailing how to be confident in devotional service. I don't have to hedge. I can have full faith in Krishna and full faith in rendering service unto Krishna, and that's sufficient. It's more than sufficient, it's perfect. Just some scriptural statements confirming, same idea. Seventh canto Bhagavatam. One must be calmly convinced that those who have given up devotional service to engage in severe austerities for other purposes are not purified in their minds despite their advanced austerities, because they have no information of the transcendental loving service of the Lord. Again in the seventh canto, although mental speculators and fruitive actors may perform great austerities and penances, they still fall down because they have no information about the lotus feet of the Lord. So a devotee is happy and satisfied and elevated by becoming attached to the lotus feet of the Lord. And that means all the activities that one may do. So one may be a student, or one may be have a profession of this kind, that kind, or the other kind, or one may have circumstance of life to decide on. the most important component of all of that is not how many degrees you have in the subject matter, but you're being guided by Krishna. And other knowledge may also be helpful, but the full faith is that by the empowerment of Krishna or by the grace of Krishna, everything will achieve the best result. Devotional service. This is now just saying the same thing in additional words, elaboration, in other words. Devotional service is a haitukiya pratyata. It is not the effect of any mundane cause, nor can it be terminated by any mundane cause, or permanently curtailed by any mundane interruption. Therefore, a devotee should be confident about his engagement. There are certainly many good qualities among fruitive actors, philosophical speculators, and mystic yogis, but all good qualities automatically develop in the character of a devotee. No extraneous endeavor is needed. Character development. It's a major concern in education, and at least from my discussion with educators, it's a failure without God consciousness. I won't elaborate too much on that. It's a pet concern of mine. Modern education, at least here in America, is compulsory. And that which taxpayers pay for, the public school system, you have to have separation of church and state. God's out of the schools. So put those two things together. Compulsory education and God's out of the school. What are you going to get on the other end? Character? Character is based on... Well, so here, character happens in the home. It doesn't happen in the school. It happens at home. And so, those of you that are a few family members here, you better develop nice spiritual qualities in your heart and the mother and father's heart so that it's passed on to the children, because the opposite is what takes place in the school. They may get academic education but not character education. And real education is character. I feel strongly about this, so I'll just go on to the next thing. According to Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says in the 9th chapter, O son of Pritha, those who are not deluded, the great souls, are under the protection of the divine nature. They're fully engaged in devotional service because they have this confidence. Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, original and inexhaustible. And the comment, this is still Bhaktivinoda Thakur making this reference and then saying, since all the devotees of the Lord are under the protection of His supreme potency, they should not deviate from the path of devotional service and take to the path of karma, gyan, or yoga. So, enthusiasm was the first item. Utsahan. And following and supporting that enthusiasm is confidence. I can continue because I'm confident in Krishna. And then comes the next one. Hopefully. Oh no, that's not where the end is. This is some example. Anyway, because of time, I'm not going to do those. We'll come back if we have time. The third is patience. Dairyat. These activities, such devotional service, must be executed with patience. One should not be impatient in Krishna consciousness. Indeed, this Krishna consciousness movement was started single-handedly. This is Prabhupada from his purport. And in the beginning there was no response. But because we continued to execute our devotional activities with patience, people gradually began to understand the importance of this movement, and now they are eagerly participating. So Prabhupada, he was challenged by the circumstance, the risked his life circumstance of crossing the ocean in a cargo boat, had two heart attacks at the age of 70, and came to a country where he had no money. As Prabhupada said, when I walked off the plank from the ship, I didn't know if I was to turn left or right. He didn't have somebody waiting for him. Didn't have, you know, send a text message to his driver. And for 1 year, no interest. Single-handedly. But as he's but he was patient. So patience has to do with results. And in this earthly, out of the universe, the upper region is predominantly mode of goodness. Some other modes, but predominantly mode of goodness. Middle region, passion. That's where we are. Look around and you'll see a little passion here and there. Fruit of activity. And the lower region, the mode of ignorance. So in this region of passion, intense fruit of activity, visit the Brooklyn Temple. If your service, your job or something requires you to go to New York, visit the Brooklyn Temple, and you'll see right next door to our temple is they're putting up a 15-story 5-star hotel. Right across the street, they're putting up a 14-story condominium building. It's becoming like Lower Manhattan. Just across the corner, there's another construction, and just past that one, they're putting up a 45-story apartment building. Yogananda, just think about it. You know that parking lot, if you walk out the front of the temple and go left? It used to be the Motor Vehicle Bureau. They're knocking it down, and that whole parking lot that's past that is going to be a 45-story apartment building. And you know, keep going, and there's that clock tower. So that's kind of like across the street from the Barclays Center, which is where the basketball team plays now. And they're going to build one that's taller than that, the clock tower. I don't know, whatever it is, 55-story something. That's right near our temple. You know, passion is happening. Whew. And besides it's noisy and dirty, it's just really passionate. But, you know, right across the street from the St. Louis Temple, whatever that thing was, is now going to be something else. And then over there, and another, break it down and build it up. As Prabhupada said, that's what they do. Break it down and build it up. So let it stay for a while, break another one down, build it up. So in this realm of intense fruitive activities, we're trained to expect results. A pressure is applied from, you know, school. And then what to speak of after school, like get results or get out. And in that results-oriented way, how are you supposed to be patient? In devotional service, it's in a critical quality of depending on Krishna, and Krishna may move matter however he wants to move matter and whatever time frame he wants to move matter. Without any hesitation of confidence or enthusiasm. It's a transcendental quality that one must cultivate or must grow in the course of progressive spiritual life. So a little bit of what our acharyas have to say on this. One should not be impatient in discharging devotional service, but should take instructions from the spiritual master and execute them with patience, depending on the mercy of Guru and Krishna. Here's Prabhupada speaking on this at initiation lecture, 1971. Dhairya means patience. Not that sometimes I don't find I'm making much improvement. But still, you should have patience. And nishchayat, with confidence. Because we're following the standard rules and regulations, success is sure. That confidence must be there. Just like 2 + 2 = 4, that is a fact. Similarly, if you follow the principles as laid down in the Shastras, then success is sure. But if you don't follow, Krishna says, ya shastra vidhim utsrija vartate kama karayat na siddhim svapnoti. Anyone who does not follow rigid principles, then he cannot have success. Those who possess the quality of dhairya are called dhira. This is Bhaktivinod Thakur, or sober. Dhira is a nice word. Even in English it's a nice word. But in Sanskrit it's even a nicer word. Very fixed. Sober. Dhira. The features of duality don't move the mind. It's not just tolerate gritting your teeth. It's transcendental satisfaction so that it can be hot or cold, pleasure, pain, honor, dishonor, and one's mind doesn't move. That's dhira. Due to lack of this quality, men become restless. Those who are impatient cannot do any work. By the quality of dhairya, a practitioner controls first himself and then the whole world. And again, Bhaktivinod Thakur, because he commented on this. This is taken from his commentary on this topic. Those who engage in sadhana desire to attain the results. Karmis hope to attain heavenly happiness by fruitive activities. Gyanis hope to attain liberation by speculative knowledge. And devotees hope to please Krishna by their devotion. Being impatient due to prolonged sadhana, some people fall from the path to the ultimate goal. Therefore, a practicing devotee who desires to achieve his goals attains that result only when he becomes patient, thinking, Krishna must be merciful to me either today or after 100 years or in some other birth. I will take shelter of his lotus feet with determination and never leave. This type of dhairya, or patience, is most desirable for practitioners of devotional service. So it's outlining, I don't think there's too many more slides to this section, it's outlining the quality and how to attain it, how important it is. Srila Prabhupada, his life was being spoken of by Mr. Rubin. It's a conversation between a subway conductor in New York City and Mr. Rubin. Mr. Rubin was interviewed by the authors of the Lilamrita. He said, he seemed to know that he would have temples filled up with devotees. He would look out and say, I am not a poor man, I am rich. There are temples and books. They're existing. They are there. But time is separating us from them. He always mentioned we and spoke about the one who sent him, his spiritual master. He didn't know people at that time, but he said, I'm never alone. He always looked like a lonely man to me. That's what made me think of him like a holy man, Elijah, who always went out alone. I don't believe he had any followers. But Prabhupada was fully confident, fully enthusiastic, and very patient. And just see what happened. Devotional service manifested very, very wonderfully. Okay, so here's a lecture by Srila Prabhupada in Los Angeles, That's a pretty interesting date. It's 1069. It must be 1969, I hope. The result may be delayed, but we should not be disturbed. We must go on working with enthusiasm. This is called patience. Enthusiasm, patience, and confidence, because we believe in Krishna. Determination means that one has to continue with patience and perseverance. I'm not getting the desired result. Oh, what is this Krishna consciousness? I give up. No. Determination. It is a fact. Because Krishna is saying this must, this. Because Krishna is saying this, it must happen. There is a nice example that a girl is married to a husband. She's hankering after a child. So she thinks that, now I'm married, I must immediately have a child. Is it possible? Just have patience. You just become faithful wife, serve your husband, and let your love grow up. And because you are husband and wife, it is sure you'll have children. But don't be impatient. Similarly, when you are in Krishna consciousness, your perfection is guaranteed. But you'll have patience, determination that I must execute. I should not be impatient. That impatience is due to loss of determination. And how that loss of determination is there? Due to excessive sex life. These are all consequences. Go on. And the last slide here. Prabhupada speaking about Mr. Paul. I don't know who Mr. Paul is. Sometimes he says, Swamiji, I want to increase my spiritual life immediately. Take patience, patience. It will be done, of course. When you have got such desire, God will help you. He is within you. He is simply trying to see how much sincere you are. Then He will give you all opportunities to increase your spiritual life. Tesham satata yuktanam bhajatam priti purvakam dadami buddhiyogam. And again in Vrindavan, 1972, Utsahan dhairyat, by patience. Not that I'm working so hard for Krishna, but I'm not getting any impetus. No, don't be impatient. Krishna will give you chance. He's giving chance always, 24 hours, imperceptibly. But we cannot appreciate very much. Krishna sees as far as we are able, according to our strength. He gives responsibility. But we must be rest assured, when we have taken shelter of the lotus feet of Krishna fully, without any reservation, Krishna must be pleased. Maybe it will take some time. This is called nishchayat, certainly. Certainty. Assurance. Utsahan. Dharyat. Nishchayat. So these qualities will, the next time I visit, if Rao Gopal reminds me, I'm sure he will, we can continue with the actions that accompany those qualities. But it hearing this originally, first time I heard Utsahan Dhairyat, it sounded like hurry up and wait. Enthusiasm and patience. Enthusiasm and patience seem like contradictory, but they're not contradictory. Enthusiasm is, I know what the goal is, although I'm far from the goal, with humility and depending upon Krishna, trusting in Krishna, I'm very, very enthusiastic. But how long that may take, or this is a phrase that I've thought of often. When you surrender unto Krishna, please understand that you're surrendering on His terms. You follow? When you surrender unto Krishna, it doesn't mean, well, Krishna, I've got my plan. I'm going to surrender and you're going to do this and that and the other thing. Well, surrender means it's not Krishna, you're going to do this, that, and the other thing. It's Krishna's going to do whatever Krishna wants to do. And that's just fine because you're surrendering to him. So when you surrender to Krishna, it's on his terms. And one of the things, I mean, I learned this in the first month of living in a temple. What Krishna wants is our surrender. What Krishna wants is our surrender. And because I had an idea, I wanted to go on Sankirtan. So Krishna gave me another service. It was washing pots. I didn't so much want to wash pots. I wanted to go on Sankirtan. But it didn't happen and didn't happen and didn't happen and didn't happen. And I just kept washing pots. Then I decided, okay, Krishna, you want me to wash pots? Then let me just give myself fully to washing pots. It's a long story, but after some time, there's details, but after some time, when I had fully given up the idea, it's on my terms, I accepted it was on Krishna's terms, then Krishna sent me on Sankirtan. And it was very clear what Krishna wanted. Krishna wanted me to surrender. He could easily have sent me on Sankirtan right away, and then there would have been no surrender. I got what I want. So one can be patient while continuing to be enthusiastic, and then the part that goes in the middle is confidence. I can sustain my enthusiasm. Even the result may not be coming, at least apparently immediately, based on my confidence in Krishna and confidence in the process of devotional service to Krishna, confident in the teachings of pure devotion, confident in what purity brings into one's life. And even in little increments I can experience and have reassured confidence in the purity of devotional service itself. Krishna will show us, Krishna is showing us, if we're, you know, tuned into Krishna channel instead of the mind channel a little bit, it helps to sustain confidence and to hear and associate regularly. Well, so I thank you all for being very patient with me during this visit, because some of this is a little comprehensive, as the texts were taken from a devotee that's presenting this in a systematic way as part of Bhakti Shastri training. And I've just taken some of the slides out and basically used what they have. So you're getting this without having had read the subject matter. I'm just like doing a little overview. And maybe it's been a little hard because for some of you it's a little new and something. So thank you for being patient with me. Any comments or discussion? Questions? Yes?
It's my decision is like when we start to do the work or activities with more enthusiasm.
When you start to do the work?
Activities with more enthusiasm.
Your devotional activity or any activity?
Devotional activity.
Okay.
As we progress, it needs, as you said, both patience and enthusiasm are both contrary.
They're not. They appear to be, but
yeah,
they're not.
But it, because since it's my realization that, as you said, it needs more faith, which is the confidence. So as the faith, confidence, progress, it needs like more surrender to that. So as the surrender increases, the level of surrender increases, the level of patience increases.
Good.
But do not know whether it's impatient or the boundary line or the time frame or the limit of what is the patient level, or I did not fully surrender.
I think it's more the latter, and in the modes of nature working. As I was describing, you know, purposefully, we're in the realm of fruitive activity. Passion and expectation of results from our endeavor is the way of life. That's this realm in which we live. It's not just you. It's the realm in which we live. It's everywhere. The atmosphere is surcharged with fruitive activity, growing the economy, becoming successful, winning, and all of that stuff. So we carry that spirit into the realm of devotional service, where we're doing more sadhana, and we're expecting results. But the expecting results is in terms of ourselves instead of expecting in terms of Krishna. Very clearly, what the quote was, the devotees, this is the spiritual conception that's free from passion. Krishna should be pleased. That's all. Not I'm going to get something. That's fruitive. Krishna should be pleased. And we know from scripture that Krishna is pleased. And that's all it takes. At least initially, it's like let's understand your own situation, it sometimes helps to think of your dependents. You have a nice daughter. So sometimes you wish your daughter to learn something from you, a lesson of life. So you're not expecting, as the mother, that she's going to like it. But you'd like her to have, impart from you to her a value that she does simply because it's to be done. Like, whatever it might be. Speak the truth. Speak pleasingly. Because that's, you know, etc. Clean up your messes after. You know, like your parents with their children. It's just like pull things out and just walk away and go to the next thing, make another mess and go to the next place. So at some point, the parent wants to have the child learn, clean up after yourself. You're not like harsh, but just like, because it's a quality that the child needs. So the expectation isn't the child is going to think, oh, great. I can't wait till I get the next opportunity to clean up my mess after myself. So same for us. It's not the success is I'm feeling some happiness. It's discipline. It's becoming elevated to the quality of goodness. And from the quality of goodness can come transcendental happiness. But not initially. So what's the progress by increased sadhana is that Krishna is pleased. And that's sufficient. It's purifying my existence. That's another mode of goodness motive. I do this because it will purify me. And as I'm getting purified, my mind is rebelling. Saying, where are you going? You're going to this land of purity? You're supposed to be in this fruitive activity place over here. What's fruitive about purity? You're wasting your time, etc. And the mind wants to go to something fruitive. Anyway, the patience that it is the result of spiritual elevation will come and it will be experienced in gradual levels known by scripture. But you know, my satisfaction in the fruit of, as long as passion is driving me and I'm not inspired yet fully by surrendering unto Krishna principle, that the measures by which my happiness is being felt by increasing sadhana, it doesn't match. It requires adjusting the standards of what is happiness. It's Krishna's happiness. Go ahead.
So that's the patience, like, it doesn't create anxiety or...
No. No.
It relieves you of anxiety. You're very patient.
Sometimes you never know. Like,
that's fine. Krishna knows. There's something that you know, even in the, you know, the outcome, the moment-to-moment experience you don't know, but the long-term outcome you know. Krishna is there because of the confidence one can be patient. Because Krishna is there and he's hearing, he's seeing, he's feeling, he's kind. Just like turn it around and, you know, the child to the parent. The parent is loving. So the parent will understand. Krishna is going to understand. He's all knowing. He's all loving. He's the best father. The best. He's the best. Krishna is the best. But
so when you're trying to do the activities, so you have to think that it should be in the perfect way or the best you can do. Sometimes
the best you can do.
Okay. Sometimes I feel like example for this is a small example, like when you're cooking for Krishna, so sometimes I feel like it should be perfect.
What do we have the capacity to understand what's perfect anyways? It's the devotion with which we're doing something. And when there's devotion, then we want to do the best. But it's the devotion with which we're doing something, not the outcome. I'll going to move on to someone else after I say what I'm saying. One of our artists who had never, Prabhupada asked this devotee to try to paint pictures. They said to Prabhupada, I never held a paintbrush in my life. So Prabhupada said, just try. So they tried. And the first painting they did was a painting of Narada Muni. They took a poster and then made a reproduction of the poster. Except they made him with big biceps. And when Prabhupada looked at the painting, he laughed and said, Narada Muni's not a meat eater. And then the devout artist said, well, I painted him like this so people would be attracted to him. He said, that's okay, let them be attracted. He has slender arms, a mode of goodness person. And then they asked Prabhupada, should I take some art lessons? Listen carefully. Prabhupada said, that's not necessary. Lord Brahma has made this body in such a way that if you do something with devotion for him, he will teach you. You'll become perfect at something. Just by doing that something in devotion, you'll become perfect. You could go to so many, you know, cooking classes and not be as expert as someone who's very devoted. Someone who's very devoted. Their cooking is so satisfying in a different way than something that's, quote, tasty. We're going to move on. Someone else, yes?
It's like, we have enthusiasm and we have patience.
But?
We should also be careful, like, yeah, this example of the boatman, you know, going for the marriage, you know, without taking the anchor, you know, going the whole.
Yeah.
Light and then didn't reach, so we should be careful, like with the weeds and also the offenses.
That's coming up. Tat tat karma favartanat. Rupa Goswami didn't miss it. Following the regulations, including these ones of attachments to unwholesome things. Next time. Yes.
We are in a helpless situation. Sometimes it comes and we fight back to Paramatma. We need help. And he listens and he makes sure it happens when we try to give him devotional connection. It happened many times to me. In the same situation, if we reverse, when the other person is desiring inward and trying to seek some help, and Krishna is arranging, And how that connection happens, I mean, the other person is desiring, something comes at that point, some mind, some restrictions. How do we listen to that instruction?
Do you understand what he's asking, Panchatattva? Lal Gopal, where are you? Lal Gopal, did you catch the question? You're busy. Listen, he's going to say it again and you're the translator. Go ahead, say it again. It's about listening to Super Soul and Super Soul. You're praying to Super Soul, please help me. And Super Soul says something. You know, what's the Super Soul channel? That's your question. How do I hear that that in guidance from Krishna?
When I'm helpless situation, I pray inside, I need help. And Krishna personally saves someone, comes and helps something. How does he get in the instruction to take it?
How does he?
He.
That's other third person?
And in turn, the vice versa also.
It's not like, you know, Krishna dialed his number and said, you know, this fellow over here, he's asking for some help. Just go there and, you know, help him, will you? Krishna, maya dyakshena prakriti, suyate sacharacharam. Krishna is the adyaksha. He's overseeing. He gives direction to all material nature, which includes all moving and non-moving living beings. Super Soul is in the heart of all moving and non-moving living beings. So how Krishna gives the signal to all the moving and non-moving living beings, whether you're praying or not, it's his omnipotency. And because you're praying, he's not, oh, now I've got to take care of this person that's praying to me. He's not limited like us. He's unlimited. He's not burdened like us when we get too many people asking us stuff to do. Have like shut down. Krishna is not like limited like us. He's the supreme omnipotent. And how he exercises his supreme omnipotence is inconceivable. But he moves as he gives directions to all living entities to do whatever they do. I mean, think of living entities. How does the cat know to pick up the kitten by the soft little skin in the back of their neck? They didn't go to cat school, the mother cat school. Krishna gives the intelligence. How does the plant know to grow towards the sunlight? A scientist will tell you it's photosynthesis. And the Vedas will say it's Super Soul, gives intelligence. So how does that work? As you know, maybe Brahma knows, but he gives direction to material nature, and through material nature, all living entities. And for one who is fixed in devotion, is direct. He'll instruct his devotee. But even, let's say, like Arjuna or Maharaj Parikshit, where he directs them in their pure devotion to be momentarily forgetful for some purpose that Krishna has, because they're just fully surrendered to Krishna. So whether fully surrendered or not surrendered, the external potency or the internal potency is acting. And through the external and internal potency, living entities are moved by Krishna's all-knowing and unlimited potencies. You still got a question mark on your forehead, I can see it.
Instructions are always coming from omnipotent. And at the same time we have the free will also.
Sure. Do you think that's a contradiction?
So how do we pursue the instruction at the same point of the free will?
How do we pursue instruction? It depends on if you're surrendered to Krishna or not surrendered to Krishna. If you're exercising your free will in harmony with Krishna's will or not, then it's the internal potency or the external potency, correspondingly. But in either case, we're under Krishna's direction. Internal potency, external potency. That's a free will choice, but Krishna's direction is there in both cases. The question mark is gone from his forehead. Sri Radhika, you had something? No, okay. Oh, there we go.
This is about faith and surrendering.
Faith and surrendering.
Yeah.
Okay.
I felt that this is a big challenge because of previous experiences. Putting faith and surrendering seems like...
Faith and, what was the other word after faith? Faith and?
Surrendering.
And surrendering, okay.
It seems like a big hesitation.
Okay.
Maybe it's on certain level.
Okay.
Because maybe...
Sure, so many.
So, I think that's the main missing part.
So then, what to do? That's it. Yeah? A short answer is a little step in the direction of something that resonates. Bhaktivinoda Thakur's teaching, I'm sure you've heard me say this before, that I really resonate with is, progress is a series of small steps in the right direction. Progress is a series of small steps in the right direction. So, I'm over here, and given what you just said, the surrender part, there's blocks. And I can give you a whole bunch of reasons why that block is there, that the not having confidence to surrender to Krishna is there. Now what to do? So out of the totality of subject matters that I've heard, or just go to Bhagavad Gita, keep it simple, and read some pages, read some purports. And something out of there, is there something that resonates? And that something, you know, I'm not so sure about the whole thing, but that something that resonates, let me apply that. Like, let's say, someone's not a vegetarian, and they hear, there's reasons to be vegetarian. Okay, well, that's something it resonates. I'll do that. Now I'm vegetarian, and then I read something about offering that to Krishna. Well, that resonates. It doesn't take much time, and on a devotional level, it makes sense. So, let me do that. I'll offer my food to Krishna. And in the course of like using these examples, that's a little surrender. It's not like major surrender, but it's a surrender. And it's going to sanctify my existence, Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita. So that, you know, let me maintain that. And in the course of passage of time, maybe I'll hear something else that, you know, that resonates. Like, you know, read a verse from Bhagavad Gita daily. So, that's that's nice. Or something. And just, you do that something. And a little step. And then sustain it. A few days back, I shared something with you. This is a little off topic, but I'll bring it back on topic. On Sunday, I wasn't with you, because I was with you Friday night, Saturday, and then Sunday I went to Chicago Rath Yatra. And I quoted how many people there chanted one round of japa for the first time. Well, I said it was in the 400s. It was over 700. And so, you know, universally, those 700 people that chanted one round of japa for the first time liked it. But, you know, now, how many of those 700 will continue to do, because many of them took home a little japa kit, a little bag. In New York, they had boxes that even looked nicer of some simple beads and a Chant and Be Happy book, a little pamphlet with a diagram to show how to chant and some things about chanting, and an On Chanting Hare Krishna booklet. And that was their gift pack. And I think a little thing of prasadam inside too. So, of those that had that experience that chanted one round of japa for the first time, then if the application point is then one round of japa each day, or part of, you know, spend 5 minutes each day chanting, and just do that for a while. Little. It's a surrender. It's not like, you know, a big surrender. Besides commitment of time, it's not a big commitment of time, but, you know, what does one have to give one's heart unto Krishna? It's just meditation. You know, it's me, not about Krishna. Makes me feel good, so I do it. So, but there's some surrender. So little is the idea. And then let me sustain that, because I have confidence in offering my food to Krishna and chanting a little bit every day. I have confidence in it. Sometimes, some days there may be more of a struggle, some days less of a struggle. My chanting this morning was really, 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 I don't know why, but it was really nice. And I can't wait till to chant tomorrow morning's japa. But sometimes it's not like that. Sometimes it's more of a struggle. I do because it's duty to do. But I continue because I'm confident it's something I must do. Like that. So then you maintain those things that you have some confidence in, and then through passage of, because your antenna is up, saying a little bit like the discussion on Wednesday night, time is passing. Tick, 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 tick. Life is slipping away, so I need to do something with this life that's going to help me progress towards the goal of life. So let me try to hear, and, you know, something that resonates, apply that little something. So a little bit at a time. And then gradually, before you know it, there's progress. And in part, this is a separate comment, but it's in relation to the, you know, being unsure about surrender. The little bits that we do result in progress, because we're in our own little autobiography. We don't see the progress, but others around us may see the progress, especially persons like me that come from time to time and see there's little progress. Little progress. But it's progress. And that's worthy of celebration. I think it's wonderful to see little progress. And Krishna's not demanding. He's loving. He's describing himself in this manner that's a loving manner, and he accepts even the simplest little thing. He who has everything, just a leaf offered with love, and he'll accept some water. My goodness, St. Louis has had so much water. Too much. But offer a little of that water to Krishna, and he'll, with love, and he'll accept. That's his nature. That's little by little. Little by little. Anything else? Okay.
Yesterday.
During partial annihilation.
Yeah.
Okay.
The lower planetary system.
The which?
Kshatriya order assembled in water.
Yeah.
So what happened to conditioned souls on those planets at that time?
I don't recall reading anything. I'm inclined to say Garbhadakshay Vishnu gives them shelter, and in Sri Brahma Samhita, it doesn't describe that. Because that's not like, you know, during the partial annihilation thing is not described. But part of what's described is, as Narayana is the name of the Lord of Vaikuntha, so also Vishnu is sometimes called Narayana because he is the ayana, or the shelter, of Nara, the collective sum total of all living beings. So because he is Narayana, and by his arrangement there's a partial annihilation, he's going to give shelter to those living beings. But the way in which he gives shelter, I've not read. During the total annihilation, they're withdrawn within the body of Mahavishnu. But now it's during the creation, and when Garbhadakshay Vishnu, I'm just giving are the teachings that I do know, the shell of the universe is there. Shiradakshay Vishnu expands within each of the atoms of the universe so that they can create their product, so to speak. And then Mahavishnu expands into each universe as Garbhadakshay Vishnu. And as he enters into each universe, he carries with him some portion of the total living entities that are in the Mahatattva, one universe's worth. So he's now the shelter of those living entities, as before the creation, Mahavishnu is. During the creation, Garbhadakshay Vishnu is. And they're within him. And the karma of their karma is also becoming activated, and that karma protrudes in the form of this lotus that, with Lord Brahma at the top, and all the other living entities are within his body. So then the universe is created, and then there's a partial annihilation. So logically, intuitively, but not scripturally, he gives them shelter. They were within him. They're given forms, the forms are withdrawn, so they're again within him. And again, the next day of Brahma, where does he draw the living entities from to populate those planets? From Garbhadakshay Vishnu. The same as at the very beginning of the life of Brahma, from the body of Garbhadakshay Vishnu. So that's an intuitive understanding, not a scriptural one. Narayana. Okay, thank you very much, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.